Everybody, how are you all doing? Yeah, good, good, good. Boy, I tell you what, I missed you guys. I've been away a couple of weeks, and we went to Guatemala for a week. Our team did from here at church, and we have lots of good stories and pictures to share with you all about that. Don't worry, that's coming. And I'll even tell a story today during the sermon that'll give you a little, whet your appetite a little bit for all that we did while we were there. We've got a couple of things going on today. One, wanted to share with you that at 5 o'clock today, there's a children's ministry backyard cookout, and it's going to be at Hannah's home. And if you are interested in going, what you need to do is talk to Hannah, and she'll get you directed to where you go, to their house, give you an address and all of that, and they will have a lot of fun tonight. I've got a finance meeting, so I can't come. We'll take care of the money, though. All right? The other thing I wanted to share with you, too, is one of our beloved sisters here at church, Rachel Marshall. Reverend Rachel Marshall passed away yesterday morning. She is just such a big part of our church family. She would sit in the first service right there, and so that's kind of her spot now. But if you went to any of our Christmas concerts or Christmas services during that time, she was the lady that played the harp up here. And she was a United Methodist pastor for years and years and years. She was my district superintendent when I just started. I was still working in a hospital and was thinking about becoming a pastor. She was my DS then. So there's a lot of special memories that we have for Rachel, and we are with your family and with Ted, and all of our hearts are. The other last little thing, this is more lighthearted, but if you look at our final hymn today, you'll note that we already laughed about this in the choir, that there was a collaboration between me and Charles Wesley on the final hymn back in the 1700s. So I was telling the choir, I take vitamins and does the body good. But above all, we're so glad that you're here to be together as a church family. And one of the blessings that we have is to practice the discipline of blessing one another in a world that is in such need of blessing. So I invite you to stand and to greet your neighbor and bless them in the name of Jesus this morning. I invite you now to join me in prayer. Oh Christ, we celebrate you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, that you are the visible image of an invisible God. And as we reflect upon you and your character today, we pray that the mysteries of our faith, the mystery of the gospel, will be written upon our hearts. May your Spirit move among us, Lord, and help us to become so much more aware of your work in us, your presence in our midst. And Lord, I just pray, we pray together that, you know, we take the time today to just pause from all of the things that are going on in our minds and in our life, to really focus upon the fact that you are here with us, that you are so real to us, and that your presence is moving in us. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Yeah. set your seal upon our hearts and live in us. Let that be our prayer for this morning. I invite you to stand as you are able for our call to worship. We have come to worship God. Let us come with humility.
We offer all that we are, knowing that we need God's Spirit to be what we ought to be.
We have come seeking God's wisdom. Let us come with expectation.
God's wisdom has been made known to us in Jesus Christ.
We have come ready to be transformed.
Let us worship and expect to become more like
God delights in our praise and adoration and in our singing. This morning, our statement of faith of the United Church of Canada is the one we'll use simply because we reinforce the fact that we do live in God's world and God will never, ever leave us. Let us say this together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating. Who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
You may be seated, and as you are seated, our children are invited to come forward for a message with Pastor Parker.
Hi, friends. I brought a really heavy backpack. Do you know why? because I always carry a really heavy backpack because I love books. And even our administrative assistant at the church, Kim, who if you haven't met, she's awesome, she makes fun of me because I'm always coming back with more books. She's like, you left with a full backpack on Friday, and you came back with even more books on Monday. Where do you get all of them? And you know what I tell her? I wish it was from the library. It's from Amazon. But that is a very thoughtful answer, and I appreciate that. But I also brought a Bible. And I have a little Bible story to tell from the book of Hebrews. Do we know where the book of Hebrews is, in the Old or the New Testament?
No.
It's a confusing one. You want to take a guess?
No.
No. That's right. Thank you, Eliza. And in the book of Hebrews, the author reminds us of something really cool. He says, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not speak later about another day. So then, a Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God, for those who enter God's rest also cease from their labors as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one may fall to such disobedience as theirs. It's really cool that God offers us rest, because so often in life we carry around heavy things like this, that make us tired, makes me tired. And life can be so hard, but God calls us to rest and to peace. And Jesus says something really special about that. He says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, that he comes to bring us rest and peace in the midst of a world that can feel so heavy. All right? Awesome. All right, well, why don't we pray together, and then you guys can go to Children's Church with Miss Hannah. Sound good? All right, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that you bring us rest. In the midst of all of our worries and troubles, indeed, in our weakness, you are strong. And we are so thankful for that, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Back. As we go to the Lord in confession together, let us remember that indeed his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and he has come to give us rest. Let us pray together. You asked for our hands that you might use them for your purpose. We gave them for a moment, then withdrew them, for the work was hard. You asked for our mouths to speak out against injustice. We gave you a whisper that we might not be accused. You asked for our eyes to see the pain of poverty. We closed them, for we did not want to see. You asked for our lives that you might work through us. We gave a small part that we might not get too involved. Lord, forgive our calculated efforts to serve you. Only when it is convenient for us to do so. Only in those places where it is safe to do so. And only with those who make it easy to do so. Loving God, forgive us, renew us, and send us out as usable instruments, that we might take seriously the meaning of your cross. Amen. hear these comforting words. If you repent and believe in God's redeeming mercy, your sins are forgiven. Trust in God's promises and begin anew your life with God and all people in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
With
us. Let us pray. Oh God, we want to say thank you. You have been here before us. You are here with us. And we honestly do not know how we could survive without you. With us, speaking to us, guiding us, leading us. We have to say thank you, O God, for you have been so important in each of our lives. As we come before you this day, there are at least three families in our church that are grieving the loss of a loved one. In each and every case, O God, we ask that you would put your arms around those who have experienced this loss. Give them your comfort, your blessings. Help them to do their grieving, but at the same time, help them to cherish those beautiful memories that that person left with them. We also lift up to you the ones in our hospitals. We pray, O Lord, for your healing powers with them. We have watched you so many times in the past where you have brought about healing for people that it did not seem possible. We know you can do it. And we ask you bring healing to these who are going through this period of time. We also want to make our confession as we just have. We have often let you down. You've never let us down, but we have let you down. We seek your forgiveness, but more than that, we want to be used as tools from your tool bag. We want to be the ones that you call upon when you need us. And help us to do so with courage and with hope. We come here this day because we want to be in your presence. We want to hear your word, your message, your music, your voice speaking to us. For we need you, O God. And we pray that you have called us to work with you to build your kingdom and to make us instruments of your peace. Therefore, where there is hatred, let us be the ones who go out and sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console those needing consolation, to be understood as to understand those going through the difficult times, to be loved as to reach out in love with your love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And now we pray the prayer which Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will now receive our morning tithes and offerings.
Jesus, we pray that you will bless these tithes, these offerings that are given to you. And Lord, as we not only give our tithes and offerings, we give to you ourselves, our persons, this church, for you, for your work in the kingdom. And so, Lord, bless all of us in these gifts for your purposes, your work, and your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ. You may be seated.
Our scripture lesson for today is from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world, who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
First, I gotta say, it's so good to be back with you guys. And I've been thinking for 2 weeks on this sermon, so I've put a lot of love into it. I don't know if that means it's gonna be any better than normal. But part of what I was thinking about when I was reading this passage and meditating it over was, I know this is probably going to seem to be a bit of a jump, but it made me think a little bit about when I was a little kid and how I loved all of those folks that would learn magic tricks, you know, and they would do it with kids. And as a kid, I think kids, just in general, they like magic tricks, you know, and they like to see magicians do all of those sleight of hand things. And I remembered when I was in high school, at the time, they did this thing called Project Graduation. And we were in the library of our high school, and they had all kinds of things out, you know, they had food and games and things for us to do. And I think the idea was to keep us off the streets, you know. And so one of the things that they had, though, was they had this roaming magician that would go all over the place and were doing tricks, card tricks and coin tricks and everything. And this particular magician stopped by me, and I was talking to a friend, and he started doing all of those, you know, tricks with a quarter, you know, where they make it disappear and they pull it out of your ear and all that kind of stuff. But the one thing that he did do that still mystifies me to this day, doggone it, is he said, John, I want you to hold out your palm like that. I said, okay, here you go. He said, now, I want you to curl your fingers up. I did. He said, turn your palm over. And then he did his little magician thing, you know, like that. He said, okay, now open your palm up. I did, and there was a quarter there. I was like, how did you do that? And I still can't figure it out. Now, I'm one of those persons that I'll ruin the magic of a trick if I can just find out how it happened. So, of course, I've gone to YouTube over the years. I've watched all kinds of shows about how magicians do their stuff, you know, like how they saw a lady in half. I won't ruin it for you. But, you know, it's like nowhere have I found the answer to my puzzle still, this great mystery of my life. How did he get that quarter in my hand without me knowing about it? Because, you know, I'm one of those people, like, I was watching him like a hawk, because I knew he had to slide it in somehow or another. But I never felt him or saw him do that. And it was just a mystery to me. And I want to figure it out. I do. But, you know, the thing about figuring out mysteries and the thing about figuring out all of those tricks that magicians often will pull with their sleight of hand is once you know how to do it, it kind of ruins the mystery, doesn't it? It really kind of does. There is a kind of fun thing about it. But I also think that probably gives them a little bit of fodder to make their next trick even better. So there we go. For all the magicians that are in here, you can come up with another good trick real soon. When we talk about, though, and we listen to Paul, And he's talking about the mystery of God in this passage, and the mystery of Christ, and the mystery of Jesus's ministry. I think one of the things that I have been often tempted to do in my own life when I read this passage is kind of revert back to my scientific background, you know, and I like to go back and, all right, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to see how all of this works. And I try and figure out God with every jot and tittle of my being. And I try and use my intellect. I think that a lot of us do this, as a matter of fact. We use our intellect to try and figure out the mystery of God. I haven't been able to do that, though. And one of the things that I've learned over the years of my life is that that's okay. There's something wonderful about God being mysterious. And right, Parker? Just leaving it that way. Just letting it be that way. But one of the things about it is when we go and we watch the YouTube videos and we try and figure out things like magic tricks, once we know how to do the trick, then we've got some insider information, right? And we can pull the trick on somebody else. One of these days, if I ever do a children's moment, I'll probably do one of those tricks and just see. I'll probably do it really bad, though, because I'm not really good with my hands. But anyway, but God just is not a coin trick. Obviously so. God can't be figured out. Here's the thing, though. When we read Paul and we hear him talk about the mystery of Jesus and the mystery of the gospel, the mystery that he's talking about is not the mystery of who God is and of himself, okay? It's not that mystery to be figured out. He's actually talking about a very different mystery that the world often struggles to understand or see. And so we're going to go through that this morning a little bit. That mystery is, if I were to boil it down just into its elemental parts, it's this. The mystery of God Paul is talking about here is that God does not show his power and his authority through an executive fashion, you know. And, you know, the disciples, I'm right with them sometimes. You know how the disciples in the Bible, they were like, well, Jesus, you know, we really are expecting you to eventually get on your white horse, pull out that sword, conquer all of those awful Romans, and wipe them out, get them out of our land, and do some powerful stuff. You know, and there's times, I gotta admit, my own weakness. There are times when we pray for all kinds of different things. Like we pray for hunger to be abolished and wars to cease. And there's times where I'm just like, God, in your awesome power and authority, wipe it out, please. I bet you join me in those prayers. One of the things that I've also learned about God over the years is that God's nature is that he shows his power through powerlessness. You remember when Parker preached about a month ago about the nature of God, and he said really quite eloquently, I've never forgotten this since, but Parker said, if you want to have a really good look about God and who God is and God's character, just look at Jesus and there you go. And that's it's simple, but it's very, very profound, I think, too. And with Paul here, what he's trying to say to the church in Corinth is the way that Jesus makes himself known to us is through his powerlessness that he comes into the world as. Comes into the world as a poor carpenter and mason. He worked with stones and wood.
He was a rabbi, very trained. But God was enfleshed into an ordinary human being, much like you and me. Perhaps like some of us, he was betrayed, and ultimately even murdered. That's the mystery. That's the mystery that Paul is talking about. Power expressed through weakness. And generally speaking, and historically speaking, you know, the world doesn't really like this or doesn't get this at all. And that's why Paul says it's a mystery to most of the world. The world doesn't get the fact that God can express himself through weakness. Because the world, if I were to be honest with you, I sometimes would prefer this powerful, conquering God that would just take care of what needs to be taken care of. And yes, indeed, God will do that. And God is doing that. But God does it according to his character and his nature. Patience is a hard thing to learn, isn't it? Oh, it is. But I've also learned over the years that patience is a good thing because I know that God is patient with me. Thank goodness God doesn't eliminate all of the problems in my life in just a moment, as an all-powerful God could, it would, because it'd kill me. Because there's still growth, still sins that need to be purged from within me or all of us. And so here we are, and we join Jesus in this walk of patience, in a walk where we are not afraid to be weak. The church for 2,000 years has understood this, and it's been passed on and passed on and carried on from generation to generation to generation. And the church throughout the years, and Paul in this passage says, when you understand the power of God is expressed through weakness, and that's God's nature, then you have Christian wisdom. Wisdom and understanding that. And the gospel is not flashy, it's not full of razzle-dazzle kind of stuff. It's simple. It's just down to earth. No magic tricks here. And you may think in some of the moments of your life, maybe even now as you're having a good conversation with the Holy Spirit, you know, but what about all my weaknesses? What about the things I can't do? What about the things that I want to do, but I'm just not able to? What about that? And Paul would tell us, you know what? All of those weaknesses, your griefs, your struggles, all of that kind of stuff, that's a window for Jesus to show the power of the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, working in you. And it's okay that in our weakness, God's power shows through. Because when we do that, we are imitating Jesus with our own flesh and our own blood. Two weeks ago, our church sent a team of folks to Guatemala for a week, and Polly was one of the folks. Stu, I haven't seen Stu this morning, but we'll do a Sunday here soon where we'll tell the stories of everything that we've done and show pictures. And Polly, you had a great time.
I did.
Yeah, I did too. And one of the things about Guatemala is, it teaches me time and time again and reminds me time and time again in my own faith walk that the gospel
is so beautifully simple. And I like my razzle-dazzle, you know? I like the beautiful church that we gather in, and beautiful accompaniments, and the organ, and all of that. I love all of that, but when you go to Guatemala, and you go out in the middle of a cornfield, and you're taking care of people in a small community, all of that razzle-dazzle gets stripped away for a time. And the learning for me, and I wonder if the learning for you and Stu too, is that God makes himself known in such profound ways when the razzle-dazzle is gone, as you can see so much more clearly the nature and the power of God at work. I'm going to tell you just a couple of stories this morning. One of which is when we were on our way there, there was a earthquake, multiple earthquakes, as a matter of fact. And one of those earthquakes did a big landslide across the road that would allow us to get to the village where we were going to build those houses that I was telling you all about. And so we couldn't get there at all, so we had to completely rearrange our work schedule and do other things. Now, I do want to let you know, have no worries, those two houses will be built. The money's there for the materials in those houses for those families will be built. So what you've given for that, it will be taken care of, and those families will get their home. So we had to adjust, and so we painted Mimi's house, which is an orphanage there on the site, but we also went out into this small village, and we painted a few folks' homes. We painted a pastor's home there as well. And while we were there, he was showing us his church. And his church was really nothing like this. He had gone out into the field, and he had taken some limbs from a tree that had fallen down, and he had just stuck them in the dirt and buried them, I don't know, that far. And then he tied off some tin roof on the top of that to kind of keep the sun off of people's as they sat there. And I think he had four or five different pews there. And they were also very plain, just very plain. And he said they have about 16 people come to church there. And he pastors them every week faithfully. And I was like, wow, that's very humbling. Very humbling. We got back to the compound where we were staying, and the head of this ministry group that we partner with, Fontaine Green, he was telling us one night in a team meeting. He said, "You know, they're meeting under just a tin roof, and I wonder if we can do something else for them." And he shared with us, "We really don't have the money. We don't have the finances to do this, but it seems as if this is a God thing to do, as if something that Jesus would do." He said, "And so we're going to build them a church." And so for the rest of our time, we labored among other Guatemalans from that area. And they put a foundation in, and they started building the walls up for this church in the middle of a cornfield, out in the middle of nowhere in Guatemala, because it seemed like that's what God would do. And I thought about that, Polly, and I was like, man, the beautiful simplicity there. But we saw the beauty and the power of God work in the midst of all of that weakness and poverty. One of the pictures I'll show you is we were doing vacation Bible school, and I was doing a prayer at the end of a vacation, of one of the days of vacation Bible school, and there's this little girl who had her hands clasped just so intently in praying at the very end. And you could just see the love of God on her. It's beautiful. Strength through weakness. Because of the Spirit of Christ. One of the other things that I'd want to share with you is
is from my very, very first trip back in 2006, I believe it was. And I was in Irvine, Kentucky, at that church there. It was the church that I served at before I was sent to you all the first time as an associate pastor. And I made friends with one of the fellows there in the church. It was a smaller church, Irvine was, probably 50 people, 40, 50 people. But there was a local dentist who went to that church, Jim Hill. And hi, Jim, I'm going to tell him to look at the sermon today. Because this is a really great story. But he's a dentist, and we went to do some medical work. We went with some physicians and some other things. And we kind of set up a dental clinic, and we took care of about 80 people, 85 people that week. And toward the very end of the week, there was a gentleman who, he had a awful deep cavity deep in one of his molars. And, so often can happen when you don't get proper dental care, you get an infection in that tooth and down into the bone. And he came in and he says, can you help me? I'm too poor to go to the dentist. I just need help. And so Dr. Hill laid him down, looked in his mouth and said, oh my. He says, you got a really bad infection in there. And he said, normally what we do is we put you on some antibiotics for about a week or so, and then we come back and we take care of that tooth because we got to clear out that infection first. It's important because we don't want to hurt your heart and other things. And the man said, will you be here in a week? And Jim looked down. He said, no. And he said, can you take care of it today? And you could see Jim kind of, all of his experience in dentistry were just coming to bear on that moment. And he said, I don't know. I'm not so sure. He said, if I pull your tooth, he said, because the infection is so bad, even if I put lidocaine in there, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel the nerve pain. And he was complaining about the nerve pain. You all know that feeling, right? When I go to the dentist, and the hardest guy in the world to numb up. And they have to, put 6 or 7 shots in my jaw to get me numb enough. And they'll go in there with their little drill, and you know that, that electric feeling? And I'm, holding on for dear life. And he said, you probably will feel that. I never will forget this. He said, you're my only hope. I'll take the pain. So we joined around this man, and we prayed for him. And we prayed that he would not feel pain during this surgery and pulling this tooth out. And so we prayed, and after that, he lay down. And I'm sitting in the dentist chair, I try and be comfortable. I put my hands on my belly like this and twiddle my thumbs a little bit. But if you're feeling pain, your hands kind of get tense, or at least mine do. And they started taking this tooth out, and it was very brittle, and it was very involved. And I watched that man's hands the whole time, and never once did he get tense. And at the end of it all, he had sewn him up and were giving him antibiotics for the next 10 days and all of that. He asked the man, well, did you feel any dolor, which is pain? And he said, no. Didn't. And I never have forgotten that moment, because we were absolutely in a place of dependence upon God. And that man was so weak and poor in his place in life. He was desperate. And it was in that weakness that we saw the power of God take care of this man who just needed a tooth pulled. And it's good for me, because like I said, I like my glitzy kind of stuff. I like my house, and I like my car, and I like air conditioning and all that kind of stuff. But to be pulled away for that for a while, it always teaches me, Polly, to see how God is so present in our lives all the time. And it's so powerful in our lives and our weakness, even when we might not see it. I love the hymn that the choir sang today. It's from a 14th century German monk by the name of Thomas a Kempis. And the words to this prayer go like this. We sang it. Write your blessed name, O Lord, upon my heart. There to remain so indelibly engraved, deeply written, that no prosperity, no adversity shall ever move me from your love. What a profound statement. Be to me a strong tower of defense, a comforter when I experience tribulation, a deliverer in my distress, and a faithful guide to the courts of heaven through the many temptations and dangers of this life. There's something about those words that really touched me. And in fact, even the call to worship today, too, it kind of got me in my heart, Joan. And I was like, yeah, there is this beauty about the simplicity of our faith and the mystery of the gospel, and that it's so simple that God makes himself known to us through a cruciform life. A life of self-giving service. And so my prayer for all of us as we go out from this hallowed, beautiful sanctuary is that as you ponder your own weaknesses in your life, that you will also reflect upon how Jesus works through you despite our weaknesses. And because of that, the will of God is always, always accomplished, always done, despite this broken pot. You all are crackpots too, by the way, in a loving way. But this is our God. And I pray that it's written on your hearts. I invite you to stand and take up your call to ministry in your weakness, to go forth in the name of Jesus our Lord. Let's stand and sing Forth in Thy Name. brothers and sisters, I pray that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit this week in very, very powerful ways, that as you go out, you will sense the power of God deeply within you, and that you will be a vessel of light and grace and hope and peace to the world, because it is Jesus who is speaking through you in your weakness. This I pray in the name